how is meditation a radical act? And it blew my mind because she's right. Like, meditation is a radical act because you have to meet yourself. You know, if you're going to meditate, you're meeting yourself in a place that, you know, where you can't like run and hide.
Exactly. And I think what really resonated on that one with me was just how often I did run and hide or check out, you know, check out, as she talked about, having the glass of wine, shopping online, like all those things that we do, or even eating, you know, junk food or whatever. Those are all just checkouts. And so she's right. It is sort of is radical to actually have to sit with yourself and meet yourself.
Welcome to Functional Medicine Coaching Moms Podcast, where simplifying healthy lifestyle change for moms is the only goal.
Hi, everyone. Today, we are wrapping up season one of Functional Moms Podcast. Kristen and I are going to be discussing the episodes in season one and how they've helped us simplify healthy lifestyle change.
We are functional medicine certified health coaches, aka behavioral change specialists. And this has been amazing getting all these success secrets from our expert guests.
We've divided the episodes into categories. So, Kristen, where shall we start?
I am thinking we are going to start with self-care because that is such a great topic for moms, especially for everyone, but especially for moms.
Yes.
So I think we should start there. And one of our very early on episodes was episode 4, Making Meditation Easy with Cheryl Wilson. And what did you learn from that? What do you think was the highlight on that one?
For me, what pops out for me is when she said that meditation was a radical act. That really, like, I was like, wow, I never heard that meditation. You know, you think of meditation, you think like, you know, peaceful, like chill, relaxing. You don't think of meditation as a radical act. And I was like so curious when she said that. I was like, wow, how is meditation a radical act? And it blew my mind because she's right. Like, meditation is a radical act because you have to meet yourself. You know, if you're going to meditate, you're meeting yourself in a place that, you know, where you can't like run and hide.
Exactly. And I think what really resonated on that one with me was just how often I did run and hide or check out, you know, check out, as she talked about, having the glass of wine, shopping online, like all those things that we do, or even eating, you know, junk food or whatever. Those are all just checkouts. And so she's right. It is sort of is radical to actually have to sit with yourself and meet yourself.
You know, I think that is one of the purposes of meditation, is to be able to face these things and breathe through them. For me, when I meditate, maybe not at that moment, but later on, I'll have like an aha moment, you know?
Yeah, it kind of clears your space, right? You kind of just really connect back, and it's interesting.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, you're right. Like, you have a choice. Like, you, like, let's just say, for example, you're just going through a season, you know, a hard season, and, you know, you can have a choice to like meditate and quiet and create the space to allow the connection to understand like where you're at and how to travel through the season. Or you can, you know, crack open a bottle of wine and go shop online.
Yeah, and just numb out, right? Just disconnect. Yeah.
And so I think it is hard. It is a radical act to sit with yourself and face whatever it is, you know, in the content of which she was speaking of. So that was a big aha for me, that I never thought of meditation as a radical act.
Yes. So where are we going next with our self-care?
Let's see. Well, here, this is a good one. It was episode number 9. Self-care is hard work, since we're on that trend right now, with Honey Bronson. So for me, I loved how she connected hard work to self-care, because just like with the radical act, you know, meditation, you don't, it just seems like, oh, self-care is hard work. Yeah, because I think that sometimes you think of self-care as a manicure, a massage, right?
Yeah,
like, that's
right.
Not really hard.
And that, self-care is optional. It sort of isn't. It's, I mean, it's absolutely not optional. Like, if you don't take good care of yourself, your health is not going to be where you want it to be. And then you'll, in the long run, kind of let everybody else down. So I think that, you know, she really made it sound like it's hard work. Like, and I loved how she said, put it on the calendar, because that is so important, I thought. you know,
schedule yourself.
Yeah, like you would an important doctor's appointment, right? You're not going to miss that. So then if your self-care, whether it's, you know, cooking yourself a healthy lunch or working out or all those, or journaling, those things are so important. If they're scheduled in your calendar, you're much less likely to miss
it. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with me, like work-related, there's so many times I would have women that come to me and their hair is like perfectly done and their nails and but then they're like completely out of shape. They, you know, they're just doing so many things that do not serve them. And, mm-hmm. you know, but they take the time for these surface things. But what about like really taking care of that woman inside of you?
Yeah. What a great point. I haven't thought about that. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So that was a really great takeaway, putting yourself, scheduling yourself on the calendar and knowing that self-care is, what am I eating today that's serving me? Mm-hmm. What, you know, how am I going to get some movement into my day today? You know, what is my calendar looking like? Am I going to be sitting a lot today? Like, where am I scheduling like even a 5-minute workouts throughout the day? Five-minute walks or just movement, right?
Yeah.
So that was a great.
So moving on in self-care, we have episode 11, Building Foundations for a Healthy Mom with Christina Methacool. She is also known as the Wellness Architect.
Yes.
What were your takeaways on that
one? Okay. So for that one, first of all, I loved how she connected because she was an architect.
Yes,
and she switched careers for her own personal health. Like, so that was like really cool how she did that and how she connected. Like, it didn't all go for naught. Like, she spent all those years in school becoming an architect and had this like high power job in New York and then switched careers. But she talked about building the foundation of your health, paying attention to how we are fueling ourselves. And yeah, okay. So we're in fitness and stuff. And of course, we care about nutrition and all that. But for me, the way that she talked about building a foundation and how we're fueling ourselves, you know, it just, I don't know, something about that just really resonates with me.
Well, and I remember, you know, in the introduction, like her saying, like, what are you fueling yourself on? Is it adrenaline and coffee and stress, you know, or is it a healthy breakfast and, you know, some good thoughts and maybe some, you know, meditation or something for your brain?
Yeah. Like celery
like
juice.
That. Yeah, so like, right, exactly. And like my moment was like, as a mom, how terrible I've been sometimes with eating properly. Like I would be the first one to fix my kids some great lunch or something. And like, I would just totally either pick off their plates or not even eat lunch.
Right.
So it was a good reminder for me. And I think it's something I still, you know, have a tendency to put myself too far last on that. And so this was a great episode, I think. And it's true. Like you're cutting, she said, if you're cutting up fruit for your kids, have some for yourself, you know, don't forget about yourself.
Yes. I remember you a couple of times sharing how you'll be eating like the scraps of your kids after they
Totally. I was the worst, right? I mean, especially when they were younger. I'm a little better now and stuff, but when they were younger, I was terrible.
Yeah. So that's really great. You know, so let's see what is next on our self-care. Which one is next here?
We have episode 13, Helping Moms Avoid Burnout and Rediscover Purpose with Gwen Johnson.
Okay. Yeah. So I really loved this episode with Gwen Johnson. And actually, I really would love to go live with her one day on our.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She has such good thoughts for sure. Yeah. She's a functional medicine certified health coach and a life coach for everybody that didn't get to see it. And she's amazing.
So I actually had so many notes with Gwen. What are some of your takeaways with her?
I mean, I think I really remember us talking about the persona and how we kind of are living a way we think we are supposed to be as a wife, a mom, you know, whatever, a daughter. You're living a certain way and you kind of think that you have to always stay that way and live to that persona. And I really liked how she talked about like it's not too late to switch. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in your 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, you always have the opportunity to change and follow your dreams. And I think
and
that
growth.
She was really good at tapping into that. So I really love that.
So I loved when she said she was talking about hard doesn't mean bad. And what she was talking about was when you're trying to make change and then, it, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you're all gung ho. And then it gets really hard. And then you're like, oh, this is like not good. This is bad. And then we stop.
Yeah, like maybe this isn't for me. Right.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, maybe this isn't for me. Like, I'm not meant to meditate or I'm not meant to strength train or whatever it is. Like,
yeah. It should, I don't know if it should.
I'm not meant to be a podcaster.
Right, exactly.
This is hard.
So she said hard doesn't mean bad. And she talked about how creativity engages us to age gracefully. And it's our adult, it's like creativity, like using our creativity is how we as adults play. Like that's how we play.
I know. And she was saying too, I remember that this is the first thing to kind of go, that people like give up on their creativity and they don't think that it's for them anymore. Or they don't need it or whatever. And they regret that. It's not so good. It's good to bring it back.
Yeah,
she's really good at that, like tapping into the creativity and all that.
Yeah, she literally said, creativity engages aging gracefully and with that dusty energy. Like she just was talking about like, as you're getting older, you still have that energy, that vibe about you because you're in your creative spirit. And she said, I want to lead my daughter to prioritize herself no matter what is going on in the world. And that was also great because, you know, our kids do learn as we do, not as we say, I think, a lot of the time. And then she talked about the, remember the list? She said,
yes, she has a fabulous list. Yeah, you can find that.
The list, what self-care is. And she's like, write 40 things that actually generate energy and vibrate your being. So it's not like, oh, what is self-care? Well, it's, you know, cracking that bottle of Chardonnay. Well, is that really self-care? Like, how do you feel after that? Does it really give you?
It has to be right. Something that fills you up. Like that's what she had explained to us that, it can't be something like that. That would deplete you.
Yeah. And creating the list. And this is one of the things I have to confess that I came up. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to write this list. Cause you know, then you're supposed to like look at your list and say like at the end of the day, like how many ways that, you know, did I, how many of these things did I use today in my list? You know, did I go for a quick little walk? Did I admire nature? Like it could be little things. Did I drink my water? And I have to confess, I haven't done the list. So I'm glad that we're doing this recap.
Yeah. And just so everybody knows too, we'll put it in the show notes, but she has a list created as well that to really kind of spark your brain going there and think of ideas.
A little list.
Yes. And it's awesome. And they're tiny little things you can do in the morning, the afternoon, like different times of day as well. Evening.
That is so great. You know what? That actually gives me an idea for us that we can do our list and maybe share it. You know, we can share it on our social media and our shorts. So maybe, you know, give other people inspo too from our,
we got to revisit that. So in keeping with our different categories, we're moving on to brain health. And we had early on episode 6, early Alzheimer's warning signs with Jessica Pierce, AKA otherwise known as Brain Coach Jess. And this was a really good one. What were your thoughts on this?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that we all know about how, you know, we all hear about the importance of sleep and et cetera, but I never knew that bad sleep habits are one of the things that affect or can
predispose you. Yes. Dementia, Alzheimer's, like sleep is a very important piece. And I agree with you. Like, I think in our culture, people kind of dismiss it like, I didn't sleep well last night or whatever. I'm just going to coffee through the day or whatever. And they're saying, no, you really do need to focus on that sleep. And that was one of her core tips for us, is to really focus on that.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on that, I think a lot of people, like, I know I speak to so many women, especially, you know, when you're going into that like menopause stage of your life. You know, I'm 57 and so many women, oh yeah, well, I don't sleep well, you know, but it's like, well, it's just part of my life, you know, like it's not a big deal. Right. However, I think after listening to the brain coach, Jessica, that I'm like, wow, prioritizing how can I sleep better and not just cough it up as I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't get good sleep. Yeah, that's just how I am. It's just what it is. You know, I manage. Like, ooh, okay, so that's not a good attitude have.
Right? Yeah. No, I know. And I liked how she highlighted the Aura ring. I actually have an Aura ring. I do love it for my sleep because it'll track your deep sleep, your REM sleep. And I noticed a huge change. Like when I played around with my sleep routine and my hygiene, or whatever you would call it, sleep hygiene, I lowered the temperature in my room, and actually on my mattress, I have a chili pad thing that lowers the temperature.
That's so
and
cool.
It improved my deep sleep dramatically. So I think maybe people don't realize that you really need a pretty cool room to sleep comfortably and to get into that deep sleep. And then the other piece is she talked about the screens too. And that's so true. I mean, that is something that I struggle with. I can be really good and put my phone away, and I can be really bad and just sit on my phone until bed, you know? So that's a good point though, for getting into that better sleep quality.
There is a episode of actually the Mel Robbins podcast that she talks about this, having a productive day starts the night before. And yeah. She has this thing, it's 3-2-1, the 3-2-1 rule. And it's like 3 hours before bedtime, don't stop eating, you know, mm-hmm. no alcohol, no food. 2 hours before bedtime, no work. And then 1 hour before bedtime, no screens. And just like reading, taking a bath. Rules. And yeah, mm-hmm. so...
Yeah, sleep routines is, I think, a highly overlooked thing that can really help people, you know, get into a better quality sleep. It's so funny, too, because with our kids, we're like, you know, have you ever heard of like bath bottle bed? Like, you know, you'd give a bath to calm them down, then a bottle in the bed. Like,
I did this last night. Can I tell you? I took a hot shower and I got my PJs on and I read myself a book. I put my phone and I locked it in the bathroom and I'm really working on this sleep routine. And I just have to say that it did start me for a great start of my day. And I do think that we shrug it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? For sure.
Because it's hard.
It's hard. Especially when you're very busy all day. It's hard to unwind.
And when you're
really
addicted to your phone.
Yes. And when you're addicted to your phone, it doesn't
and
help.
And scrolling.
And I just wanted to highlight, too, the episode with Brain Coach Jess, how she talked about, you know, the early warning signs and things like senior brain or mom brain are not really, or senior moments or whatever. Those are not things to kind of take lightly. They are serious warning signs that something could be going on and that you can actually reverse symptoms. As she talked about with her mother, she reversed her mother's early Alzheimer's symptoms just through lifestyle factors like sleep and diet and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And I just also want to say with, now that you say that, that guys, like if you have any type of, you know, any worry in that arena, watch this episode because she actually tells you exactly what her and her mother did because she was also susceptible to the gene because she took that test.
They both have the gene. Yeah, they did have the gene. Right. And her grandparents had Alzheimer's.
And she's setting up her daughter to like for prevention in that arena. So I thought that that was an amazing, like that was a loaded episode.
It was. Moving on to episode 7, we had What If It's Not Depression with Dr. Achina Stein.
Okay.
That was one of our live podcasts from AIC down in Orlando we recorded. That was the Functional Medicine Annual Meeting, and that was very exciting that she sat with us for that, like kind of a mini episode. But what was your takeaway on that one?
Yeah, I was the one that was speaking with her, and my takeaway was when she said, let me just make sure that I have it right here, when she said if you're being treated for depression, but for whatever reason, it's not working for you, you know, you could feel stuck, like that's your only option, you know, and to be curious of other ways that you can help yourself. And because that happened to me, not with depression, but with anxiety. And I was on like this medication and it made me feel really weird. And I told the doctor, I was like, all right, well, this medic's like, oh, you got to give it time, you know, so that you can like make adjustments and get used to like whatever. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to get used to this. Like, this is not what I want. And so I had to make a decision, you know. Do I want to experiment with other medications or do I want to try and see if maybe I just really hone in on lifestyle choices that have been known to help other people? And I figured, you know, let me give that a fair shot.
And it was successful for you.
It was.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. And I think it's important, you know, depression is a spectrum. Obviously, if it's a more mild form, you know, I think that's more what she's talking about here, that you can look into the lifestyle. And she talked about the toxins and just, it's just amazing how powerful exercise is, right? Didn't you do a post recently about that? Like, that's your medicine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so many people I know.
I said, you want medicine? Here it is.
Yeah, here it is, right? So for a lot of people, things like that can be just as effective, if not more effective than medication, depending on where you are with your depression.
Yeah, absolutely. I am all about that. That was a really, you know, I know her son was like, had a real strong bout of depression where I think he was even suicidal. And she was like, something is wrong. My son was never like this. And they were giving him all types of medications until she, I don't remember the whole story, but they did figure out the root cause and her son is well now.
Yeah. Yes. That was amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's what got her into functional medicine, really, I think, is
that's right.
And because she's a psychiatrist and there weren't that many psychiatrists looking at functional medicine at that point. Yeah.
Yes. Like, oh my gosh, Kristen, you're right. And she said she found this doctor who was into functional medicine and he was the one that helped her son. And then after her son, she saw the miraculous, you know, transformation. She said, I will volunteer to work for you. She's like, I want to work for your office. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to double down on that. And she did. Amazing story.
Amazing story. So many amazing functional medicine stories we've heard on these on our episodes.
Including yours.
So moving on to gut health, we have episode 10 we did with, it was Gut Health Simplified with Kim Del Castillo. And she really shared a lot about how our gut and stress are linked. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that was interesting. I know that for you, I remember you, because I think you even posted about this, because she talked about the vagus nerve, right?
Yeah.
And you talked about that and how that, and that actually made me aware, because just even doing that, even me doing this right now.
Yeah. So for everybody, like, you take your knuckle and you kind of rub down the side of your neck and you'll feel that's where your vagus nerve is. And I guess you can activate it that way.
Yeah, one of the ways.
So one of the ways. And it's a relaxation. I mean, just doing it right now, I feel so
I know that's
much
what
calmer.
I was saying. I was just, yeah. It's just very soothing, and it just kind of brings
just
it
calms
down.
You down. And I had taught it to my daughter. And what was amazing was that, like, a couple weeks later, we were at a doctor's appointment and she was nervous. And I saw her start to do it. And I was like, that's so amazing. She's applying, like, what we learned. Like, really cool.
That was very cool. That was a big aha moment for me as well, because I actually use that, what you call it, a technique. Mm-hmm. I use that all the time.
Yeah. No, it was a really good tip.
She also taught us about the food sensitivity testing.
Yeah, that was really good information, that she does this extensive testing where she can help people really get to the root cause of symptoms and especially gut issues. And, you know, what was amazing, I remember she said, like, you know, Brussels sprouts or something could come up for somebody and you think, well, that's a health food, you know, why would that be bad for me? So it sounds like it's a very good thing to explore further.
Yeah, so that you see what is fueling you appropriately.
Yeah,
right? All these things connects, right?
Yes. It all connects for sure.
So moving on here to episode number 16 with Jessica Spain. And that was really great, because also I had my daughter was in that episode with us.
Yes. Yeah. Taya came. That was great.
Yeah, that was great. My daughter has some of these issues. So it was great to have that, just that interaction, you know, with all four of us. That was very cool.
I have to share that I've been trying their product, Digest Live, and it has been very helpful for me. It's a very good, so for those that don't know, it's a female constipation solution. So it's just like, and it's a herbal supplement. So it's all natural. And I've been taking it in the evening, and it makes me go to the bathroom in the morning. And because I kind of have been a person that struggles on and off with constipation, I've used things like magnesium citrate that's really helped me. And of course, diet. I have to watch my diet. I've been amazed with their products. So I have to say that that was something that I took away from that episode. And then just the fact that the reasons for constipation in a woman are different than a man.
That's what I was going to say.
Really interesting.
That's what I want.
I'd never heard that before.
Yeah. You know, that came up when you just said, what is it called again? The supplement that you're taking?
Digest Live.
Digest Live. It's a supplement for women for constipation.
Yes.
And the highlight for me was when she talked about the difference. I will not even attempt to talk about what it was, because I just know the essence of what she was saying. I will not give it justice. But that to me was, I never thought of that. Like, I never.
She shared that women have a longer colon than men, which I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then also just that, you know, it's estrogen, progesterone play a role. Like, there is a role there that's different than a man. So their product is designed specifically for women. And yeah, I have to say I'm way impressed.
So. Yeah, very much so. And also because, like she said, they treat constipation for men and women in the general, you know, the same, and it's not the same. And so that, I thought that was very interesting. And she's just an amazing woman. Continuing on with our gut health category is episode number, what was that, 23, The Secret Holistic Approach to Skincare with Marina Sky.
Yeah, this was really interesting to hear from her about how she helped her mom heal from Crohn's disease through dietary changes.
Without surgery and without prescription.
No surgery. And this was serious. Yeah. Like, her mom was about to undergo surgery. And it was amazing, just the dietary changes, like what a huge impact that made on her health. And her mom is now in her 80s, you know, is not sick anymore. Yeah. And then we learned how the gut and skin are connected.
Yeah.
And that if you want beautiful skin, you also have to worry about what you are eating as well as what you're putting on your face.
Yeah. One of the things also, just, you know, she talks about her own skincare issues and how she took a holistic approach to clear her own skin issues.
And she had acne and issues like that. Yeah.
And she said that her son has her genes in that department and her son is suffering from that. And and that she had such a hard time getting him to understand the connection with his diet to his skin. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm not mistaken, tell me if I'm pretty sure that he like totally doesn't listen to her because, you know, she's his mom. I mean, right? Yeah. That's his mom. But I think he heard someone else talking about it and he's like, oh, mom, I'm going to do this diet. And she's like,
then
oh,
it sounded
really?
Like a good idea. When it didn't come from her, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, so
that's
that
so
was,
true.
That was very, very interesting, especially because if you just think like if you just have normal skin, imagine like what your skin can look like. And, you know, this is a woman that had an actual like real genetic problem that she was able to heal herself and through skin, through her gut health.
Yeah, it definitely inspired me too. She said that we should be wearing sunscreen even in the winter, you know, something that would stop the aging process. And she told us to look at underneath our arm and compare that to her face to see how much damage we've had.
Wow.
When I did that, I thought, wow, okay, yeah, I see a big difference. If I had been religiously wearing that sunscreen, it might be better, but what are you going to do? Yeah. We try our best. So yeah, that's a great lesson. And it was really cool.
Moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. We learned some things. So.
Yeah, but she had a lot of good tips and she gave us a tour of her establishment here. She's in New Jersey, which was another cool thing. So we can actually, we plan on going to set up an appointment with her and maybe doing a little on the field episode.
Yeah, a little showcase of what we can do for our skin.
Yeah,
love
very
it.
Cool. All right. Category has to do with our kids and teens health. And in episode number 4, we actually had my daughter on again, and it was about raising, because my daughter's a mom of 2. My grandson is 6 years old and my granddaughter is 1. And it was about raising kids in a sugar and processed food filled America. And that episode did amazing, made us realize how many people have like are in tune with this. And
yeah, a lot of people are concerned about this.
Yeah. And want support in this arena. What'd you say was your takeaway for this one?
Yeah. I loved how Taya in this one shared how she's trying to raise conscious eaters and just kids that are aware of what they're putting in their body, how to read a label, basic things like that. I think were just, I mean, to be honest, I never thought about that for years. I never like looked at labels. What really kind of got me to look at labels was my daughter had food allergies. So then I actually had to read labels. And sometimes I'd be like, what is this stuff? Like, I don't even know, you know, like all these packaged foods.
Right.
So I thought that that was a great tip that she gave that, you know, you want to set a foundation, let your kids know how to read a label, let them know, you know, learn a little bit about nutrition and set a good foundation for them.
Yeah. And I think the other part was, but also letting them like, it's like Liv also, like she set the foundation, but then if, you know, if Emmett's at a birthday party, you know, she's looking at mom, like, can I eat this? And she's like, yeah, go ahead, have a great time.
Just got, right, yeah, exactly. You can't get the all or nothing where you're so strict that then the kids feel, you know, restricted.
Right, because that's not healthy.
It's not healthy at all. No.
You know, so it's like knowing like when I thought that was a great, because I could see how a young parent, you know, with young children, just, you know, learning the ways of the world. And especially in today and age where with social media and things constantly coming at you. And that's part of the reason why we even started this podcast was to simplify healthy lifestyle change, because there's so many things coming at us that you could feel overwhelmed and you could feel like, oh no, you can't eat that. No, you can't do that, or you can do that. And it's like, oh my gosh, like chill out. You know, you do your personal best,
true.
Use common sense.
And you know, for me, like my kids are teens now, and you know, am I cringing sometimes when I see like what they're coming home with or what they're eating? Like, yes. But I try to keep my mouth shut because, you know, they have to explore. They have to figure it out themselves. They know.
And you laid the foundation. That's right.
It's there. Like, exactly. It's there. So when they want to come back to it, they can, you know, and they know. And you know, it's really sometimes when you don't feel so great that you start looking, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't be eating all this stuff.
Yeah.
You kind of learn. You learn the hard way.
Yeah, exactly. But at least you have the awareness, you know.
To connect it even, to connect. Maybe I don't feel
exactly.
so great because this is how I'm eating.
You know why, you know, you have a greater sense of awareness because you have those foundations that were laid out for you at home. Which brings us to episode number 8, which is right in that same, you know, raising kids and kids' health, and which is Beyond Med Solutions for Kids with ADHD with, and I love this guy, Dr. Scott Shannon. He was freaking the bomb. I love this dude.
Yeah, he's a great doctor, psychiatrist, expert that we spoke to at the AIC again in Orlando. And
he was kicking it at the after party, by the way.
Yeah. He was. We were on the dance floor. Yeah. It was fun.
He was dancing away. But So here we have, we learned that there are many different reasons for ADHD, and sometimes mm-hmm. lifestyle factors help improve symptoms. And I just want to emphasize, for me, because I have a son that has ADHD, and actually I think all my kids have a tad of ADHD, including me.
I'm starting to wonder in my house too, I think. Yeah. We have definitely one confirmed. I'm not sure about everybody else.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's not, you know, for me, it's not sometimes. Lifestyle factors, 100%. It brings me back to what the Australian woman, Barbara O'Neill, she said, genetics load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Yeah, for sure.
And for me, in this ADHD world, with my kids and even with myself, because like with Shane, you know, Dr. Shannon talked about having your kids exercise before going to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like burning off the excess energy. Yeah.
Yeah. And also it just helps your brain focus better.
Yeah, I know. I just learned something the other day that like you're better off walking or something when you're trying to absorb information, like a podcast or something, versus sitting. Like your brain will actually absorb it better, which is wild.
It is. And you know, I mean, honestly, personally, when I go for runs, I'm listening to stuff. When I mm-hmm. go for a run, it's like gets that whole thing going for me. And so which, you know, even like the red dye number 4, you know, the things that we eat make a huge difference. I saw a huge difference in Shane when I changed his diet. Yeah. And I know you did too.
I did too with my son, for sure. And I think it really helped. He has not gone on medication so far. And I think that really helped a lot, you know, like, and now he's sort of shying away from those changes. And I'm seeing his symptoms are maybe worsening. Maybe, you know, he will have to use the medication. So we'll see. But I think
make those dietary changes.
Yeah. Teens, it's harder, I'll say. It's harder to get them to be compliant, like with something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, let me just tell you, like in my world, Shane is 19 years old now. And for some reason, like, he definitely pays, he notices. And like the other day, because it was Halloween. So there were all these candies, you know, from my grandkids, and everybody's mm-hmm. like all these horrifying candies. And he was going to grab this like bar and he was going to eat. And he looked at me and he's like, and he put it back down. You know, but he wasn't doing it because,
like, no,
yeah, but he was just like, oh, you know what? Actually, no, I'm not doing that to myself. Yeah. I'm not doing that to myself. So.
Right. Yeah. We have to also highlight how Dr. Shannon talked about the breakfast, which was huge. He said there was a study that said if you gave a kid a high carbohydrate breakfast, like cereal or waffles or something, and then they gave kids no breakfast, and then they gave kids a high protein breakfast, hands down, high protein breakfast was the winner. The second one was no breakfast at all. And the third one was the high carb, which that one really surprised me.
That did surprise me, especially when he said, so basically the study saying that you're better off eating no breakfast than eating a high carb breakfast, sugary breakfast.
Like, and for years, I mean, that's what we would eat. Like I growing up, I would have like waffles or something, you know, a bowl of cereal or all that. And so I guess now we know it's not going to be the best for focus. And then you send your poor kid to school and they have to sit all day like that. That's really hard.
Yeah. Or off to a sport where they plummet, their energy plummets because they were on this high, and then they get to the sport and they're
and then it drops.
They have to play the sport, which brings us to episode number 12 with Michelle Dole, aka the teen health coach.
So
she talked about like the high fat, high protein, carbohydrate combo so that they have that even
blood sugar. Yes. She talked a lot about blood sugar and how important it is for kids, and gave us examples. Like instead of just doing like a bagel with butter or something for breakfast, go for like a bagel with an egg and maybe some sausage and, you know, maybe a slice of cheese if you can do that, like all things like that to make it just a better quality, more sustainable blood sugar for energy.
Right. That's going in. And then I think she spoke about like some simple carbs, like during, while they're in, like for example, for Shane, he's a wrestler. So sometimes he has to wait for his match it's just a long day. So then it would be like mm-hmm. simple carbs, because then they need something to digest quickly. So it's
like
not
a quick energy burst. Yeah. I think that was so helpful, because you don't hear anyone really talk much about teens, and they're playing a lot of sports. A lot of kids are. Yeah.
And you know, like what's seriously, like I always, you know, thank God, I always did think like, what's the difference between my kids that play sports and a professional athlete? Like I want to treat my kid just like somebody would be treating like a professional athlete. Like I want them to get massages. I want them to stretch out. I want them to have the food that's going to nourish and help them perform their personal best.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's important. I think it's overlooked. And I liked how she highlighted mindset a little bit too, about how, you know, just checking in with your kids about what they're thinking maybe before they're going to the match or the game or whatever.
Oh my gosh, because you're right. I forgot about that part. Yes.
It was a good tip. I think as parents, we just assume, right? They're fine. They're ready to perform. It's all good. Well, maybe it's not. You know, like, we don't know what's going through their minds.
Yeah, because so we love cheering our kids on the sidelines, right? We get like our little, like, I love being on the, you know, watching them. And meanwhile, you're right. She's right. There could something be going on in the back burner. And she'd be doing a thing with, she was going to be doing like a testing, like the blood to see.
She was trying to get like some continuous glucose monitors to check, like to have kids wear them, teens wear them, and then eat different meals and see how, what happens to their blood sugar. I think she did have something on her Instagram at one point where she had kids test some kind of fast food and see what happened.
Wow. We should make a note that maybe find out if she actually did that and have her back on so that she can share like her outcomes with that.
You're not hearing anybody talk about blood sugar and teens. Like, you just don't hear people talk about it. And it does matter more than people want to admit, I think. So, especially for athletes that want to perform well.
The secrets to college success with Professor Chrysler Bailey.
Yes, that was such a great episode. And I have to share.
Yeah,
on
because
that.
You used her services, right?
I did. I bought Coach Chrysler had a, she did a talk for kids that are going to be entering college. And I have a senior this year that just applied to all the colleges. That was a real stressor. And it's a great course that she recorded herself live doing it. And you kind of work through the modules. And we're still working on it because we kind of got tied up with the college application process that was taking a lot of our time. But it's great because it's showing you like how to read a syllabus, how to, you know, communicate with your professor, how to budget, all these things that nobody teaches you. And her being a professor for all these years, what is she like, to over 20 years as a college professor, she was just sharing these tips of, you know, what was the missing link for these kids? What how come some kids do great in high school and then get to college and everything kind of falls apart? So she really has some good tips on there. And that was a really good episode for anyone that has a kid going to college, or, you know, even if it's their early in the college freshman year or whatever, it's a really good thing to listen to. She had some great
tips. That was a really great tip, and that helped your son, right?
Yeah, I think it's helping him for sure.
Well, we went a little overboard, guys. Our episodes are usually 20 minutes long. But you know what? It was well worth it. We learned so much during season one. And Kristen, it's been so great going over all these episodes with you. Memory lane, going down memory lane.
Yes,
here.
Raquel. I know. This has been an amazing experience. And everybody should stay tuned for our final season episode, number 25. And that will be wrapping up the whole season one. And then we're done.
Woo! Let's go. Yes.
Ready for season two.
Yes, let's go. Fresh new stuff.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from our mom community. Any wellness topics that are high on your list, please DM us at Functional Medicine Coaching Moms. We can also be reached via email at info@functionalmedicinecoachingmoms.com. You can find Functional Medicine Coaching Moms podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.